And welcome back, Pocket Change listeners. Today is a really special guest. It is a new friend of mine who I found from listening to another podcast, and we've connected quite well. Today, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Guy Smith, who is a former Naval Special Warfare Operator, also known as a SWIC operator. He is an IFBB pro bodybuilder. And of course, he's retired, so that's where he spends all of his time and focus. And when he's not spending all of his time and focus on his beautiful wife, children, helping other people, he's also a performance coach. And so this is going to be a very full and fun episode for you. So buckle up. Welcome, Guy.
Wow. Thank you so much for that introduction, Kate. This is so awesome. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And Ruth, I know we've got you on deck with us. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure to have you. And I'm just so grateful that we were able to connect. And, you know, let's dive right in. Let's talk a little bit about this Naval Special Warfare Operator. Like, this is not an everyday thing that you come into contact with. I don't come into connection with people who do the kind of work that you do that is very specialized, that is very well-trained. And that probably has, and what I would suggest, most people would think, one of the hardest mindsets to really master.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. And, you know, the community is a hell of a organization, right? You've got some of the best people on the planet. Yeah, you're talking about mental toughness, will, determination, focused. I've never been part of an organization that embodies that more. So Naval Special Warfare, yep, I'm a SWIC operator. You might be familiar with our counterparts of the Navy SEALs. And so if you know, people never really hear too much about SWIC operators, because usually when you look at it from a media perspective, when that information is being disseminated to the public, we usually all group together, okay? So to put that into perspective, what is a SWIC operator? If you think about a traditional Navy SEAL, those individuals are very much focused on land-based warfare and diving operations, right? That's the history of the SEAL community. And then when you look at the SWIC operator, we're a specialized role that focuses on surface operations on the maritime environment and air operations, diving, jumping, drones, you name it. We also very much focus on surveillance operations, intelligence, reconnaissance. Like, that's very much our specialty, right? And so that comprises the Naval Special Warfare community, SEALs and SWICs, very much like a doctor, you're a general practitioner, and you have specialties. That's our community is broken up as well.
That's pretty exceptional. What took you in that pathway? How did you get there?
That's a hell of a story. You know,
we got to start
from the beginning on that one, right? You know what? I think, like most things in life, right, everyone has a calling. And for me, like I said, when I start back from the very beginning, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles in Watts during the, you know, 80s and mid 90s. And during that time, I mean, it was, you know, probably the worst era. Lots of crime, lots of gang violence, dealt with shootings every day. Saw crackheads and drug addicts walking up and down the street. I mean, just probably the worst environment possible. But I came from a good family. I grew up with all women in the home, my grandmother, my mother, my sister. They very much looked out for me and kept me outside of those things. So I never really grew up in the traditional sense of, you know, kind of looking up to the guys in the streets. I was always looking up to the military men. You know, I had police in my family. So I looked up to the law enforcement officers out there. You know, I had a whole different perspective. I knew that going into the street life, gang life was not an option for me, even though I was being recruited. You know, I had to fight every day to survive in that environment. I always knew, bigger picture, that down the line, I wanted to do something special with my life. Growing up, my mom would take me to the bookstore often, take me to the library. And I was always attracted to the military. I come from a long line of military service members. My grandfather served in the Army. Had uncles that served in the military as well. And so that was in my mind, in the back of my mind, always a path that I was going to go down. I just knew it to the very core of me. Special forces, though, I think every little boy, right, grows up kind of wanting to be a badass operator, commando, Navy SEAL or something like that. And that was no different. I looked up to those guys. I revered them more so than like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, all the NBA players. I looked up to the commandos, the special forces guys. I was like, that's what I want to do one day. And like I said, I grew up in a lot of, you know, gang violence and dealt with a lot of abuse in my life. And so to me, that was the embodiment of strength. I said, one day I'm going to be one of my, like those individuals, not the people that I see out there terrorizing my community. Fast forward, right? You know, you kind of get away from it a little bit. Sometimes you think things are pipe dreams, but in the back of my mind, I always held on to that belief that maybe get into the military one day. But anyway, I took a different path going down sports. You know, I always was very much into health and fitness, really pushing myself to the limit. Got into high school and I got into wrestling. And that was when I got my first taste of like adversity, how to overcome that physical distress that you feel from putting out and training and all that good stuff. I had a great coach. To this day, I keep him in my mind all the time. That guy taught me so much about perseverance and how to deal with defeats and how to overcome, that he would just push us and practice. You know, we'd get up, he'd make us come to school at 5 a.m. to run track and lift weights. And I mean, I just really dove into the discipline of it. You know, even as a young kid, I was very much into fitness, wellness, and health. And then when I, you know, got a little bit older, finally getting into high school sports and wrestling, that's when I saw like the light. I'm like, wow, this is something that I want to do. I want to push myself. I want to be strong. I want to be a great wrestler, right? And I did. I had a great career, obviously, high school wise, right? But as I moved on, you know, I kept up with it. I eventually got into coaching and I moved to San Diego and I started coaching mixed martial arts because during the time, you know, in the early 2000s, there weren't many wrestlers out there. There's certainly wrestling coaches, unless you had a university or something. And so that's how I kind of got into the whole performance coaching and personal training space, is I started off coaching professional fighters, teaching them how to wrestle. You know, prior to getting into that, I was working a lot with the Marine Corps wrestling team, started meeting some really high level people because I had visions of going to the Olympics for wrestling. So I just had a great network of people. I was training 8 hours a day. I mean, it was insane, full on. Anyway, fast forward, I'm working at this MMA gym. It's phenomenal, surrounded by all these great people. I met all the greats before they became super famous. Shogun Hua, Mauricio Hua, Brandon Vera. You know, Dean Lister used to come in there all the time. He trains Jocko Willink all the time. They're partners. God, I mean, I've met everybody there is. But there was a special group of dudes that would show up. Very diligent, very strong, very low-key. Anyway, fast forward, turns out they're Navy SEALs. And that was it for me. I was like, man, holy crap. I'm surrounded by the guys that I idolized growing up, special forces operators. And so to finally be around those individuals and see how they think, you know, befriending them, training with them, I just saw like, man, that's exactly the path that I need to go down. Okay. I had a young family at the time. I think the opportunity was just right. My wife was going through nursing school. And one time I was at home and I was looking on MySpace back in the day, right? And I had this this friend of mine that was in high school with me. We were on the same wrestling team. Smaller guy, very unassuming, but I would follow him. We followed each other on Instagram or MySpace over the years. And then he would just post these random pictures. You know, I had no idea what he was up to, but he would just always post these pictures of him getting beard and stubble. He's very physically fit still, very strong. Like, what the hell is going on with this guy? And he's like, getting ready for my business trip. Okay, 2 weeks out for my business trip. The beard's getting bigger, bigger. And then he posts a video of him jumping out of an airplane, doing all these different maneuvers and spinning and tracking and flying. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy, like, what's going on here? I do some digging, reach out to some old friends, and it turns out it's a Navy SEAL. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is crazy, right? It was just all around me. And that right there was the catalyst. I'm like, if that guy can do it, then damn it, I can do it, right? I was like, that's it. But like, there's no way. I'm wasting my time. This is it. All my friends that I was training with that were operators, I knew some SWIFT guys. I knew some Army Special Operations guys. My best friend was a Marine. You know, he was a wrestler there in the Marines as well. Like, I'm just surrounded by people that I just admire the most. And they gave me the encouragement to go for it. I talked to my wife about it. Her best friend in nursing school, her husband or fiance at the time, was a Navy SEAL. I'm like, what? How does this keep happening? How do I keep meeting these people? How am I always in this, right? And so that was it. I made the decision to jump off of the couch and go for mine, right? So walked my ass into the recruiting office and started the process. And it was a struggle. It wasn't easy. But ultimately, I got to live out my dream and become an operator, right? So, yeah.
long-winded. No, but I mean, like, life is made up of these amazing experiences, the things that draw us down the path that we're destined to be on. Like, I genuinely believe that the things that we experience when we've got something set on our mind, when we, even if we bury it at the back of our brain, it is a possibility to bring that to life. And the pathways that we choose are not by mistake. I don't think that there are coincidences in life.
Absolutely not. No. I could agree with you more. I think when I find that I'm not following my path, right? And we all know this innately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's when things start to spiral out. That's when things, you know, seemingly look okay on the surface, but really there's that uneasiness. And whenever I bet on myself and say, you know what, I'm going to go for that crazy, outrageous thing. Everybody told, not everybody, I had a lot of support. My wife, my family, everybody believed in me, even when I didn't. But there's always those people, those names, oh, he'll never do that. There's no way, right? You can never be special operator. Yeah, right. That's what I like to dig in the most. Okay. So yeah, I 100% believe that there's no coincidence. I think we get in our way sometimes as people, or we are too afraid to pursue our passions because we're more concerned about what other people are going to think about us, or holding on to old shit that's been, you know, reinforced in our psyche. We heard from our parents that you got to have a stable job, or you got to have this, or you have to do that in order to be successful. And I say, absolutely not. You can't go through life with your head down and not paying attention, your head in the clouds. But if you absolutely put focus to it, and cut all non-essential bullshit, and I mean, really dive in on the things that you're passionate about, you will succeed. Even if you don't make it all the way to the top, you're going to learn something along the way, and you'll get a nice big chunk of what you want at least, but you got to go for it.
Well, I think that that's exactly it. It's that peak to peak thinking as well, right? Like you think about any career change that you've ever had, or you know, a promotion that you've had, right? Yeah, I remember my first mentor. I went away and I've been in this reorg, and I'm leaving work as an executive assistant on Friday, and I'm coming in as a team lead doing change on a Monday. And she said something to me that has never left me. And it is that today you are the number one and the top of your game. Like, you're the best at what you do. She said, but just remember, when you come in on Monday morning, you are now at the bottom of the totem pole and you're at the base of the next peak. And that's really what you're thinking about. And I mean, like, when we look at even like our other industry, our bodybuilding industry, you know, you think about that. And like Dusty Hanshaw talks about that quite often. The peak to peak thinking is that we see that with every competitive season. We see that with every iteration of what we look like when we come out of an off season is, you know, when I first started, like I think before we were even recording, I was telling you, I was on stage at 140 in 18. And then when I came back in 2020, I was sitting at about 155 pounds. And, you know, I think about the fact that, you know, I go to put on a pair of size 4 jeans. And while my waist is very tiny because I'm a diligent vacuumer, guess what? Those quads, glutes, hams, and calves are significantly larger. And even though I might be close to or similar in weight, I'm at a different peak. I'm on a different mountain in some instances when we look back at that. And so, you know, it's no different than when we translate that over into our professional existence as well, and following the pathway of where we truly want to go to become the person that we know we can actually be. And it's that quiet voice that says, yes, I can. And sometimes it's really quiet, and sometimes it's really, really loud. Talk a little bit about what that voice sounded like as you're going through like your training program once you were accepted in to SWCC. Because there had to have been days where you were just like, mother of God, I don't know that I can do another footstep in this track, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'll be completely honest with you. That voice was screaming at me my whole life. That you got to do something. You have to do something else. I think we like to throw a pillow over it and muffle it. But that thing is always screaming at you. You got to get past the bullshit. You got to, it's the other noise around you that's making that little voice in the back of your head that you know you need to be listening to, that's telling you that this is your path. It's all the other noise around you that's screwing that up. Okay. And so once I figure out how to dial that other noise down, I can tell you this, to sum it up, the best thing you can do in life, and learn this as a young person, is to cut shit, cut people, cut bullshit, cut non-essentials, all
agreed.
Of that.
Agreed.
And once you figure that, because you always think you're going to miss out on something, mm-hmm. right? Oh, if I don't go to this party, if I don't get accepted, or oh my God, I got hit up on Instagram, my friends are at this thing, how could I not be there? How could they not invite me? Listen, cut that out, okay? That once I figured that aspect out in life, I'm telling you, it takes off. And that's not just for me, that's for anybody. So when I did go through the pipeline and I did have adversity, no, I really didn't think that I wasn't going to make it. That was never a thought in my mind. I knew it was difficult. I knew that I chose a path that is unimaginable, the odds, right, of making it or not, who knows? It's up to you, period. That's what I accepted. It's 100% up to me to make it through my program. I had an instructor when I was going through, before I went through the pipeline you go through. Wow, this actually predates Budge Prep. So before, when I was prepping to do my physical screening test, okay, and I'll go into that afterwards. The physical screening test leads you into, you have to pass this even to get selected to go into the Navy to try out for special operations, okay? But what you can do is you can actually work out with someone called a dive motivator. This is usually an ex-retired Navy SEAL or SWCC or someone, and they'll screen you. They'll run you through the process, kind of give you some good workouts and all that. Anyway, I go to one of those. And I get in the pool. I'm thinking I know how to swim. I'm thinking I'm this super strong, badass guy. And I am so taken out of my comfort zone with these training sessions. And I get out of the pool and I'm smoked, right? And I have to stand in front of the instructor, not huffing and puffing, but it's like hands down, stand up, look at him straight in the eye. He looks at me. And I have a physical screening test like in 2 days or something. And he looks at me and he just stares at me. And he says, "Guy, do you have the courage to make it through this program?" And that was enough for me. I'm like, damn, it's more than strength. It's more than cardio. Damn. You have the fucking mental fortitude and the heart to not quit on yourself, on your goals, on your vision. Look at all of the sacrifice you are just to be right here in front of this individual. So absolutely not. That was it for me. It's about your heart. It's about your courage. It's about your attitude. It's about your will. That was it. So no, there was no quitting. I just went in with the attitude that, okay, you know what? This is an attrition course. It's designed to kick the shit out of you. Let me figure out what I'm made of each day. If I fall short somewhere, hopefully, God willing, if I'm still breathing, I'm still here, then I have another opportunity to make it. Until they tell me I'm not good enough and they kick me out of here, I'm going to show up every second, every minute, every hour, every day, period, until it's over. And guess what? Just like you said, there's peaks and troughs. It ain't never over until you decide it's over. So that was my attitude going through the pipeline. I would rather die. And I mean that. And I don't just say that casually. I'm serious. You got to make a decision. And I had another friend that told me, you just got to not quit. He was a Navy SEAL already. He's like, that's it. And that's the hardest thing for people, is not how much it hurts. It's a decision to make, just like everything in life. And that was it. I said, I'd rather die than give up. And that's my attitude in life, period.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that resonates with me. And it's interesting, you know, because, you know, people, there are a lot of people who don't appreciate the intensity that comes with individuals like us. And that's okay. I often say, you know, I can't be everybody's cup of tea, but you know, I am somebody's shot of whiskey. And that's right. Matters, right. And
so, I love it.
You know,
gotta be who you are in this world.
But it also comes down to being your authentic self, right? And so what was interesting for me this year is, you know, I took a word, one word, and I said, okay, I'm going to live this word. And when I feel frustrated, anxiety, like the things that we normally feel in our day-to-day lives and our emotional regulation, and even fear or authenticity can be very, very frightening, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody's always trying to keep up appearances. Everybody. And it's even worse now that we've got social media, right? Being an authentic individual is very challenging because we're all trying to be like each other, which is ridiculous. And my word this year is unapologetic. Mm-hmm. And I have got to say, it has been such a freeing year because being unapologetic of who I am and what I stand for and what I like. And you know what? I have this little light of mine on my posing playlist, and I listen to that. And I got to tell you, out of all of the songs on that playlist, that's the song that hypes me up the most. I was like, maybe this should be my posing song, right? It won't be. But you see what I'm saying, though? It's like, I am at the core of who I am. I'm a very kind, I'm a very loving person. And I know that about myself. But I'm also a very smart person. I'm also a very calculated person. I'm also a very dedicated person. And I can also have a really, really significant dark side to get shit done when I need to.
I love it. Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, you need it.
You know, and being authentic and recognizing those things and honoring those things is kind of the root of our self-confidence, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, that and not shying away from adversity. You know, that's where the metal is made. That's, in my opinion, where the confidence is built, right? You can manufacture it in your mind and say, yes, I am confident, right? But then you can have the proof in the pudding. It's to the DNA. It changes you at the core when you willingly decide to face adversity and say, I'm going to see it through to the end, regardless of the outcome, win or lose. But I'm going to give it everything I got. That is how you build confidence. I used to think running a mile was the hardest thing in the world when I was younger. 2 miles was like, this is insane. 5 miles, that's impossible. No way, right? But then you get through the pipeline, you know, or even when I got exposed to wrestling and all those things, you know, you're hitting a triathlon every day. It's no big deal at a certain point. You got to be taken there. But you're not going to get there unless you're willing to put your head down and swing and fight for yours, that whatever that may be, the job, the girl, the promotion, the outcome. It's what's happening in between that matters. And you being willing to stick through it and not run away from it, not make little compromises with yourself, not little backhand deals with yourself. Mm. Oh, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. No. Stare down and go for it. That is how you build true confidence. That, like I said, changes you to your core.
Oh, you're showing up for yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, I fundamentally don't believe that if we can't love ourselves, if we can't show up for ourselves, if we can't honor ourselves and who we are, how can you possibly expect somebody else to do that? How can you expect respect from somebody when you don't respect yourself?
Yeah, and that's it. And like I said, I think, you know, we sell ourselves short. I've been a victim of this. You know, there's been I can think of a number of opportunities that I just blew because I was more worried about, oh my God, am I going to say the right thing? Am I going to do the right thing? Instead of just having that confidence in myself that, wow, you even just have the opportunity to present yourself in this case or in front of this person. You did everything you needed to do to get there. Mm-hmm. Show up and be you. Yeah, be your authentic self, okay? Be tactful in your approach. Be polite. Be confident. Have, you know, some mental fortitude to stand there and bear it, because at the end of the day, it certainly beats the alternative. You can't come back from quitting. You can't, you know, living in your head. That's one thing. You can produce the scenario. You can try to hype yourself up, but until you put foot to ass, get those feet on the ground and start moving, you really don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to have the courage to go ahead and step out. As like we said, man, once you jump out of that airplane, you're essentially dead until you do something about it. Okay. So it doesn't matter what's going on. Only thing that matters is action, 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 execute, get it done, period.
Absolutely. I mean, the action is what drives any type of drive forward. But even to that end, you know, there's this. I was telling you when we chatted earlier last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. These books by Tim Grover and you know, Relentless and Winning, which are two of my favorite books ever. I listen to them every year, even probably twice in prep, because it's just especially Winning. Winning really, it just like it gets me right in the heart and in the soul of who I am. I'm like, oh my God, he wrote this book right for me. but one of the things he says, and I think it was in Relentless, is talk is cheap and the price never changes. You always get what you pay for.
That's right. That's so true. Oh, and, absolutely.
You know, how many times do you come across somebody where they talk a lot about what they want, but they're not willing to actually do the things that they want or need to do to get what they want? But I'll tell you what, that Orange is the New Black new season just dropped, and we're going to binge watch that along with The Walking Dead and whatever other shit that is flowing off of Netflix, and that becomes the priority. Well, don't talk to me about what you want if you're not willing to actually get up and do it.
Absolutely. The easy route. Ooh, it seems great, but it will lead to your demise, period. You got to get out of your comfort zone. And so you need to reward yourself then, right, with the Orange is the New Black after you've kicked your ass and made some reasonable progress in the things you want to achieve in this life. And you got to be willing to do it. You do. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy, right, to say, yeah, you got to do this, you got to do that. But until you make that decision in your mind, it doesn't matter if I'm telling you or you're telling them. People have to make that decision within themselves. You got to be so sick and tired of your current situation, more so than you're concerned about, oh, all the hard work that you have to do. And usually it's because you're not doing that hard work that you're having the kind of anxieties and worries and nonsense that you're going through. It's never the actual work itself. There's reward in that. Okay, that builds you up right there. Yeah. And that's why I tell people, like, okay, you don't have to climb Mount Everest today. It's in stages, all right? So, all right, you want to work out. You don't know where to start. Okay, start here. 30 minutes, set a timer 30 minutes earlier for yourself to get up in the morning. And then just go for a walk. Don't go to the gym. I don't need you to go lift weights. How about you just get up, go for a 30-minute walk, and come back. If you want to lay back down, okay, whatever. But at least you made some kind of move in the right direction. Yeah. And then tomorrow you give yourself another opportunity. But you just, you got to lean into whatever that thing is. Like I said, it's always screaming at you in the back of the head, right? To turn that off and accomplish, send the email, turn that off and go move, turn that off, whatever it is. That's the noise that we're talking about. You got to learn how to cut those things. And once you learn how to turn that other noise down, I'm telling you, the message is loud and clear. And it just starts with a simple decision. I'm going to lean into the thing that I know I need to do. Not the thing I want to do, the thing that I need to do. Because let me tell you something. When you start doing the shit that you need to do, man, you're going to get everything you want. That's
100%.
Guaranteed. 100%. Guaranteed.
Yep.
And it ain't going to happen right away. It's not, because it's not how life works, okay? You can't just plant a tomato plant and expect to have it the next day. You got to cultivate it. You got to take care of it. You got to build it up, okay? You spend all that time on your Instagram account. You spend all that time on this and that account cultivating it, trying to grow it. You got to reverse track and put that right back into yourself first.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, you probably didn't notice, but I rolled my eyes. Cultivating the followers, right? But you know, it's interesting because you say that. I have a quote on my whiteboard right here beside me, and it says, "When the fruit becomes ripe, it falls."
Love it.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly the same thing. Is we have to learn, we have to grow, we have to be willing to do the things that maybe we don't want to do. And I am a big proponent of eating the frog. Right. I mean, every single day there is going to be something that we don't want to do. That's an extrinsic motivator that says if we do this, then we get something. Doing the extrinsic things in our lives facilitate us being able to do the intrinsic things that set our soul on fire. For example, I have a day job, and my day job is a really great day job. It's one that I've made. I love what I do. It's not actually a job. It's a career. It's a very well-compensated hobby. But what that hobby does is it actually pays for my incredibly expensive bodybuilding addiction, right?
Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nothing
I got priorities.
That. No,
I got priorities. You know,
yeah, that's
so
exactly it.
So talk to me a little bit about the training once you got into the pipeline. So you got into the pipeline, and I think that's a place where people don't really have a lot of exposure or insight. And I think it's something that there's a lot of curiosity around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I think the greatest factor there, as I mentioned earlier, it's a attrition course. Okay, so what does that mean to the very core? One, it's not like practice for anything, any sport. You go to practice, you know, from 1 to 3:30 or 2 to 4, right? You know exactly how it's going to go down. You know the coaches, you know the flow, you know what's going to happen. You got a schedule. We're going to play a game on this day and that day. When you go through the pipeline, you have zero clue when your day's going to end. You just know it's going to start, okay? When that sun comes up, it's game on. You have no idea what's going to happen, okay? And so that's when you got to have it in yourself to say, all right, I'm just going to take it as it comes, right? Perform. That's it. That's where the execution mindset comes from there. And that's why the whole course is designed that way, because it's designed to take out the nonsense, the noise, and teach you how to strictly execute under pressure. Okay. And so the first thing you see, even day one, all the studs, right? Everybody's out there like just a prime, beautiful horse, right? Ready to get after it and blah, blah, blah. Within 5 minutes, you start seeing people quit because they're being yelled at. And you're like, what? The pressure to perform just eats people up inside. You got these big Olympians, big summer former professional athletes or people that just come from, you know, the ultra marathon space or the, you know, I swam across Alcatraz and back kind of people. You have all the extremes. But guess what? When they're training at home, they're in their own lane. It's comfortable. Yep. I've got all my, you know, my hydration this and my goo that and my ice bath and I can sleep for X amount. Yeah, right. When it comes down to it, how are you going to perform under pressure? Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day. And guess what? This ain't going to end for damn near a year. And then when you finally get that first kick in the nuts, as we like to call it, sometimes it's just overwhelming for people. They cannot handle the pressure of being out of their element, having someone yell at them, having someone, you know, have to perform on someone else's timeline. It just completely breaks down. And that's how you start to cultivate the team mentality. That's when you realize, too, you don't just get anywhere alone, right? Sometimes you got to be taken there. Somebody's got to take you to that next level. Sometimes you got to be willing to go as well. And so that is how the pipeline is, essentially. The first phase is, you know, a very physical portion, right? You're getting beat up. You're being very uncomfortable. You're getting sandy. You're getting dumped in the Pacific Ocean. You're experiencing the very limits of hypothermia, dehydration, you name it. Now, everybody's out there. They're following you. You've got, you know, medical staff on standby. But really, it's up to you to make it through moment by moment, okay? And then, you know, you start to push the envelope a little bit further. Now, okay, you made it through a couple of phases. You get your first exposure to maybe, you know, brick treading is something that I talked about. That was one of the, not just treading with a brick, but anything in the water, okay, is going to make you uncomfortable. Everybody thinks they can swim because they've been to grandma's house in a pool in the backyard or whatever. But when you are in the ocean and there's no bottom, okay, there's no shallow end, so to speak. You're just out there wading and treading, and now you've got clothes on, and guess what? You just did a 4-mile run before that and a couple hundred push-ups, and you're tired. Are you going to give up and quit? It's completely up to you.
Wow.
Those are the kind of things that you encounter through the pipeline. You know, you really do see, one, just how fragile the mind can be. But you also see that there really are no limits either, okay? And you are the deciding factor in which direction you're going to go on that path. Then you also learn that your mind is going to give up way before your body ever does, okay? So then you start to say, like I told you, remember a mile initially was like, what the hell? 2 miles? And you want me to do that in under 17 minutes or whatever? What? So that's impossible. But as you show up and you execute and you finish those difficult tasks, your confidence builds and builds and builds. And so, yeah, the pipeline is an attrition course too, but they're also building you up, showing you what you're made of. Okay. And at the very core of it, I think that was probably by far my favorite thing about the that program in particular, going through the beach, going through that process, is I got to see exactly what I was made of. And all the shit that I talked to myself at night, all that self-talk and all the books I would read, I got to see, okay, am I all talk or am I going to go out there and walk the walk and get it done?
Well, and you know, I think it just, you're speaking, and I'm feeling emotion, and I'm feeling my neurology respond to a degree, because, you know, not that I could ever relate to anything within the pipeline, but when you think about the things that we do, even in our industry of bodybuilding, and how extreme that sport actually is, you're hungry, you're tired, you're worn down. So there are similar conditions, certainly not with the same levels of stress, really, let me be very clear. But also recognizing that you're taking yourself out of a significant comfort zone, and you're placing an end timeline on this that is very, let's say, somewhat ego driven, right? I mean, there's got to be an ego if we're going to stand up there in these little tiny outfits and paint ourselves an odd color. But you know, I'm feeling myself respond to this, because I'm able to associate that to go, yeah, you know, that 55 or 60 minutes of cardio that I did on that max trainer this morning, that was really hard. And I didn't think that I could go. But you know, what's really interesting is that what I've found, particularly with this preparation that I'm in right now, is that I'm linking into that type of a mindset more than I ever have. And I've always been very, very, very driven. But it's so interesting where, you know, this machine has like a dial on it, and it's like an elliptical and a stair climber at the same time. Bowflex.
That's interesting.
Really, really great machine. Super soft on the joints and whatever. Yeah. And when I first got it, I could do like 8 minutes, and I was just like gas. Like I was just like, holy crow. I mean, I was also coming out of a bulk, but like neither here nor there. But now what's really interesting is I get on that thing at 5 o'clock, sometimes 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to do 60 to 70 minutes, depending on what my day looks like.
Yes.
And I was, my peak was a 4. Now my peak is like a 12. And I don't let myself, once I go up, I don't let myself come back.
You're coming back down.
You're not. Right. But that's the mindset, right? The mindset is that you're going to drive yourself into the greatest possibility that you possibly can, because you can do it. Even if you're fasted, you're hungry, you're thirsty, your sweat is in your eye, you know, anything like that. We are capable of so much more than we realize.
So much more. And that's what I'm saying. You gotta set your goals, and they have to fucking scare you to the point where you're like, there's no way. And you want people to tell you, yeah, right. Because deep down inside, when you say something like that to someone, in the back of their mind, they're like, holy shit, can they do that? And it kind of scares them a little bit too, right? And so that's it. Your goals should scare the absolute shit out of you. Because guess what? Even though you're aiming for it, and like I said, yeah, you're not always going to hit the mark. That's just not the way life is. Just like in the community, right? Yeah, we take losses. It doesn't matter how we're the best trained warriors on the planet. We still take a loss.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? How do you bounce back from that? Okay. You're going to encounter losses in life. Otherwise, life would not be worth living, first of all. It'd be very boring and mundane if we had no challenges to overcome. Okay. So yeah, right there, that is where the gains are made. It's in that going from, would you say your peak was at a 4? It's taking that 4 to the 6 to the 8, the 8 to that fucking 12. That resistance that you're feeling there.
Yep.
Not just you, but whatever it is, right? From the decision to the outcome, that resistance in between, that is where the growth occurs. That's the stuff that people hide from. But really, that's the stuff when you hear, enjoy the process. That's the fucking process. That's it. Yeah. Because the outcome is never, ever going to be what you expect. Here's another funny story. When we were going, we all go through the pipeline together. And at some point, we all, you know, in the beginning, we all start together, and then we branch off. And what I mean, we SEALs and SWICs, right? We all start in the beginning together. Then we kind of branch off into our specialty driving. Then we come back together for like SEER school, language school, all the
more advanced
types of schools, right? And then we just kind of intermix. You see, it just zippers in. But now we're getting to the graduation phase, and we're almost done. And I remember there was this young officer, cool guy, very unassuming. You would have never thought he was a Navy SEAL at all. He just looks around. We're kind of just bullshitting. And he looks at us, and we're all looking at each other. And he's like, you know, we just made it through all this tough ass training, right? Does anybody know how to like kill anybody yet? Or like be a warrior? Like, do you feel like you're a badass guy? We're like, actually, yeah, like we didn't do a single like karate chop or nothing. It's just been running and swimming and getting your ass kicked and you're starving and you're like, oh my God, okay, we finally touched some guns a little while ago. But that's it too, right? You mentioned that earlier. It's like, yeah, there's peaks and troughs. You got to get through those freaking peaks first. And then you're going to look up and then you're going to see a whole nother one. And you're like, holy shit, man.
Here
but
we
if
are.
You didn't go through that first one to get there and understand the struggles and what it takes, you can't possibly know what the next phase feels like. But now you got a little bit better, a little bit stronger, a little bit more wiser.
Yeah.
Now you know, okay, I don't have to go back down. I'm right here. Let's go to the next phase. So that's it. That's how it goes. That's how you win. That's how you push it.
Well, and I think the other thing too, I mean, like, again, I draw these correlations back to our other industry and you work at a regional level to become a qualified athlete at nationals. You get to nationals, you probably, like, I don't know about you. I went to nationals and I got my face kicked in, but
ass
you know,
kicked.
Man, 6 of 6, but I did win first in masters. Good.
Yes.
You know, I'll take it. But, you know, I got my ass handed to me and I was standing next to these 5 other women and, you know, I at 160 pounds looked like a skinny little doll. And I was like, oh, I think I need to take some time off. And I felt brokenhearted. And I walked away from that and I had to heal from that. And I had to look at it from the fact that I had gone from regionals to that new peak and I was at the bottom of that new peak. It was the first day of my new job and boy, did I suck. And, and so when we think about that and you guys go in and you hit this new peak and you have these things, now you go out and you're sent out to do the work that you were trained to do. And you go through this career and you build these quality relationships and you have this global network of people. And then it's time for you to make the big transition away from that. So talk to me a little bit about your transition of coming away from being a SWCC operator and some of the things that you learned and experienced and came through that you're now trying to backflow and help others with, because I think this is a very, very important conversation that while we talk about maybe 2 or 3 times a year, I don't think we talk about it nearly enough, which is the transition of our service people, particularly our service people who have seen war times coming back and receiving what they should receive, what they deserve to be able to come back into society.
Yeah, that's a deep one, you know. We're gonna have to go. I hope you don't have to rush back, but I'd say the transition it was scary. That was one of the first times where I was really afraid. Okay, why? Because one, I knew that I had to get out, and I say that because once I got into the community, I only wanted to do the latest and greatest. Put me in the action. I'm not interested in doing anything other than kicking ass, period, getting after it at the highest level, whatever that may be. And I got certainly what I asked for when I pushed myself out there. And so when I got to the point where it was time to go, I tried to lay out a plan. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm going to go get myself educated. I'm going to get out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But I also was aware that something was different in me too. You know, I was going through a lot of, you know, I would say mental health type of issues. I did not really understand the severity of like traumatic brain injuries and these things. And a lot of the case I wasn't even aware of, some of the things I was going through, I was just in the mix, in the heat of it. Everybody around me is going through the same things, right? You kind of just feed off of each other, support each other, push each other. And it wasn't until the cord was cut, per se, that you also start becoming aware of some of the more things, the realities of now you're out, right? Your paycheck stops immediately. They're not paying for you to go home. That's it. You're out. Thank you for your service. It's up to you to get back. We'll move your stuff for you. That's about it. And so you're just like, whoa, holy shit, I didn't expect that. I thought I was, you know, whatever, right? You think it's going to be a little bit more smooth, but it's not. You're on your own for the first time. And really, you're on your own because in the military, you're never on your own. Even in our community, you don't go anywhere alone. You always have a swim buddy or a shooting partner, as you call a shooting buddy. You know, someone there you've got a command, you've got infrastructure, you've got your gear taken care of, you've got your transportation, all that. It's very catered. You're like almost like being in a pro sports team in a sense. It's time to go kick some ass, right? But when you're out, you are out hard and fast. I don't have an MBA. I don't even have a college degree at this point. I don't, you know, you think you have a bunch of skills. You do. And that's the truth, though. You really do have all these things. Again, the noise was too much at the time. But it was difficult initially. We get back. Obviously, we were on the East Coast for a lot of years. I come back to San Diego, California. And the home prices have doubled. Rent has doubled. I'm just like, whoa, what kind of world have I gotten into? I've been used to being around all these super high performing individuals. I had all of this responsibility, responsible for tens of millions of dollars of equipment and lives and all these things. And now I have zero, nothing. I'm going back to college. And so that was a very like super culture shock for me.
Yeah,
it was very, you know, it kind of all hit me at once, right? And your family isn't aware of anything, really. They just know you're a little more aggressive or, you know, you're just different. I was drinking like crazy. That's another negative side of the game with the military, is drinking is very much a, you know, part of the culture. And like I said, when you're in the military, I've said this before, you become something else because you will adapt to your environment. It's very hardcore. You're driven. Everybody's type A. You know what I mean? There's just this monster that comes out of you. And so that works there. It does. And you need it. You do need to be whatever the hell you need to be to get the job done, okay, while you're in that environment. And some people are super savages. They go far right. Some people are super religious, and sometimes you have people in between, but everybody kind of finds their way to get through that crazy ass lifestyle. But no matter what, you're still contained in the ecosystem. Then when you get out, though, there's no breaking down that mentality or that structure that you've established for yourself. Mm-hmm. People aren't even aware of it. You got military bearing, right? You've got the rules of the military. As long as you're adhering to that, you're doing your job, you're fine. Nobody's going to call out too frequently you're drinking or you're abuse of tobacco or whatever, your attitude. People don't call those things out, really. But then you get out, you have to face reality. And that attitude and that way of living, that aggressive lifestyle, and I went the savage side of things. It did not work on the outside. It got me in trouble. My household was starting to break down. The way I was speaking to my family, the way I would deal with people, I couldn't talk clearly with civilians. That's how I looked at everybody. I'm a military guy. You're a civilian. You know, that kind of has a crazy effect on your psyche. Then I started dealing with the effects of traumatic brain injury. You know, I'm like, I don't ever have anxieties, and you know, I'm having night sweats, or I'm not sleeping at all for days and days and days at a time. You know, these are all a lot of the realities that our combat veterans and people that have been in any kind of stressful situation in the military or law enforcement are just dealing with. And I think a lot of the common denominator to mask that is, like I said, through alcohol or substances of some sort. And so that was something that I had to really address initially. Okay. Again, you know, I don't want to harp on that. I'm not saying that for any kind of like sympathy or anything like that. I just understand that that is a reality. And once I figured that part out, like, I had to do something about this. This is not sustainable. I'm going to kill myself. I'm in a situation where I'm literally about to kill myself. I've been down that road too. My family is a mess. Even my dogs are running from me and are afraid of me. Something has to give. Okay. And again, it doesn't matter. I went through the VA. I've been on all the medications. I've done all the talk therapies and all that stuff. And I still deal with those things. But again, like I said, people have to be willing to change too.
Yes.
And that, when I really put it into perspective, it's the people that are around me that have always mattered the most, my wife, my children. That's why I went into the special operations community for anyway, because I wanted to be that person for my family and take care of my family. And so now that I'm out, how can I be taking this 180 and being completely the opposite? Something's got to give. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at myself one day in the mirror with a big ass dip in my mouth, and I'm drunk, but I was very aware of what was going on. And I said, this is it. This is it. I can't live like this anymore. And so I wrote out a contract to myself, sloppily, whatever, but I wrote out a contract. I dated it. And when my son came home, I signed it right in front of him. I promised him, I'm not going to drink another day going forward. And then shortly after that, I wrote out another contract about dipping tobacco too. I'm not going to dip another ounce of this stuff that's going to kill me and take me away from my family. And then I decided to buckle down and get serious with my life. That was it. Hard and fast. And that's it. That's what it takes. You have to apply the action. You have to own your story. Yep, we all go through shit in life, okay? I could write several novels on the trauma and all the things that I've been through. But at the end of the day, all those things, all those traumatic events, all the things that I've been through led me to where I am today, because I'm here and I'm alive. I'm in control. My past doesn't dictate my future. It's just chapters in life that tell a story. Okay. And you can decide if that story is going to fucking destroy you or if it's going to make you. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to take everything that I've been through. And I'm going to go this way. I'm going all the way to the top of this thing.
Love it.
And so that is the transition right there. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. And when did you transition out of the, of SWCC?
Active duty in 2016.
Wow. So fairly recent
time. Yeah, so that was active. Then I spent some time in the reserves, and that wrapped up in 2019. So still, you know, very raw, very recent. However, you know, it's not either, right? But that just goes to show that there are those effects, right, that can happen. And whatever you're dealing with, if you're transitioning or having a hard transition out of the military, or you're a combat veteran, if you're dealing with depression, anxiety, any of those things, one, I want you to know that you need to be proud, regardless of what you've done out there. You need to be proud that you're here, that you're alive today. Well, you did what you had to do to survive, regardless. I don't care how bad anybody on the outside is going to think about it or judge it or whatever. That does not matter. You're here today, and there's something you can do about it. And you can have a great, abundant life if you choose to stop doing the things that you know are hurting you. You have to stop it. It has to be hard and fast. There could be no compromise. You have to seek out as much help as you possibly can. I don't care what it takes. I don't care if you got to go do ayahuasca in Mexico or if you got to sit and talk to a therapist for 2-5 years. I don't care. Do what you have to do to make it. Give yourself every chance, every opportunity, and show it, prove it to yourself. I don't care. It's not about everybody else. You got to take care of yourself in this moment here, because you're going through this too. Everybody around you is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with you, period. Mm-hmm. Accept that. And once you make that decision, I'm telling you, man, it opens the doors. It brings a light on everything. And that is how you're able to make progress. But if you're just in your head, if you're sitting in your home, you have to look at your environment too, right? You know, I was not moving. I was sitting. I was in a dark room all the time. I had no idea what was going on. You have to get up and get moving. That's got to be the first step. And then you have to address your environment. Is your space a mess? Is your bathroom a mess? Is your closet? Do you have to be food in your fridge, or is it just old and smelling like shit? You don't think that's going to be a direct reflection of your mindset? So clean up your battle space. When we're in special operations, the mess is not allowed. You need to tighten your shit up. You need to have your gear ready to go. You got to go back for this situation and go back for that situation. You better make sure your fucking batteries are on point and not corroded from salt water, and that your gear isn't a mess. So you got to apply that same level of detail, attention to detail, just as you were when you were a tier one or a high level special operator or combat marine or whatever the hell your job was in the military. You got to apply that same level of detail, like you were taking care of the government's property. Start taking care of yourself too, just like that. And let me tell you something. Once you apply that level of discipline to yourself, it makes the transition much more smooth, much more easy. But falling back on the old ways,
No. So do you think that, like, that level of discipline, because all of a sudden you go from having very little autonomy to now you have nothing but autonomy, and that's right. Really where it all triggers, right? Is that you don't have some that accountability.
It's interesting when you say that, because I look back and when I had my time in the military, I had more freedom than I could ever imagine. Why? Because I was so fucking disciplined, because you are accountable. You are so focused and dedicated on accomplishing the mission. Everything is on point. It's perfect. It's smooth. There's no stress like that. You know that you got to make sure your inventory is on point. You got people on you that are watching you, checking you, making sure your shit's tight. Oh, no, no. When your stuff is wired tight and you know it and you got it and you studied and you practiced and you trained, you're free. That's why when we go on ops, being ready to go, hell, you're damn near asleep because you've done it, you ran through it, you push yourself, you know you peaked, you know you put in the discipline. And then when you get out, people want to take this like chill approach, like, oh, I'm just going to chill out, I'm going to grow a beard, and I'm going to get a little fat and eat whatever I want kind of nonsense. And it's like, that's the absolute opposite. And I'm not saying you got to live it every single day the way you're doing it in the military, but no, you absolutely need to maintain your discipline. Get up every day, exercise, start there, get moving. Yeah. Depression is a mechanism for your body to get moving. Something isn't right. You've been bogged down from whatever that may be. It's time to disconnect from whatever that is and start moving in a different direction. Number one, literally start moving. Get out, go for a walk. Take 20-minute walks. That's probably one of the best medicines that you can have right there. Okay. Yeah. Get back into the gym. If you don't want to go to the gym, do a jujitsu class, something where you're going to be held accountable, where you're going to have to deal with some adversity. But guess what? You're also going to be around other people that are driven, that are motivated, that are doing things. I always tell people, if you're lost and you don't know what to do, you don't want to go to the military, why don't you go sign up for a jujitsu class? I guarantee you, you're going to find so many people that are in industry, entrepreneurs, a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, an engineer, something there. All the most interesting people that I've ever met that mostly come from jujitsu or martial arts. Why? Yeah. It's discipline. It's focused. And they're free. When I go anywhere, I'm not worried about getting into a scuffle. Why? I've had my ass kicked 200,000 times. I know what it feels like. I know what comes from that. So I know to avoid conflict. I'm not going to sit here and get into a fight with this idiot. Yeah, can I kill him? Absolutely. I'm going to back off. I'm going to take the high road here because I've got too much to live for. Okay. And so that is how you overcome a tough transition. You don't just say, I'm going to grow my beard out, get fat, sloppy, you know, wear slides and dirty socks to the store and grab more beer. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. Walk your ass to a jiu-jitsu gym. Go outside. Start taking care of yourself. Start eating a little bit healthier. Have one less beer every other day or week. Cut it completely for a little while. Start over. Reset.
That reset button is so powerful. And it's, I think that's, that is probably one of the areas where you would see somebody getting hung up is I'm going to make them. And I see it all the time in some of the clients that I work with is I'm going to make progress. Then I'm going to relapse or I'm going to have a mess up. And then I'm just going to go and I'm going to backslide. And it's like, no, one bad day doesn't mean a bad life. It means that you're human. And this is where you really get to really flex those resiliency muscles. And you said something that, you know, really stuck with me. And the metal is made in adversity. We know what we're absolutely made of. And and when we have the small things like the leaf falling off of the tree, and that becomes the biggest part of our day, that means there's something greater for you to be looking inside and saying, okay, what is actually going on for me right now?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Complacency kills. Pleasure, too much of it will destroy you. You got to learn to check your vices. You can't just give in and do the things that you want to do all the time. You're not a child, right? And so you have to buckle down. And you know what? Listen, can you be perfect in all areas of your life? Absolutely not. You can try. There's certainly people out there that live a very, very disciplined, very focused life. See me, I know I'm lazy. I got to fight that every day. I got to combat it. Mm-hmm. Okay. just like everyone else, I could be undisciplined too, but I hate being broke and out of shape and feeling like shit more than I like to be lazy. Okay.
Yep. So
it's like, yes, you got to make a decision there. Yeah. You can go left and screw off. That's fine. In certain instances, your kid graduates or you accomplish this great thing, you got the promotion and you want to go out and party. Hey, you won the show. You want to have a couple double doubles, go for it. Why not? Yes. Reward yourself. But when that becomes just your mainstay in life, mm-hmm, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to orange versus the new black all day and eat Hentaline Tostitos and Doritos and watch my blood pressure go through the roof. Like, you're making a conscious decision to hurt yourself. It's not something that's happening to you. It's something you're allowing. Okay. Cut that. Kind of go the other way a little bit. Give yourself every fighting chance to see your highest potential, whatever that may be. That's not for me to decide for you, but you in your mind know what that is, and you know what to do already. Turn down the noise and start moving in that direction.
Absolutely. Everything is a choice, right? I mean, getting up, yes, and going to work is a choice. Getting up, yes, and brushing your teeth is a choice. Walking the dog is, every single thing we do is a choice. And, yep, you know, it's wonderful because every single day we wake up with invitation. And you know what I love about invitation? Invitation gives you choice. We have, yes, the invitation. Invitation gives us the ability to wake up and choose, do I want to be excellent today or do I want to be mediocre? And you know what? Yep. Some days you might choose mediocrity, or it might, yep, just pan out that it becomes mediocrity. And you reflect on your day. And you go, okay, well, we're not going to do that tomorrow. I'm not going to, yep, pick the little talk box up in the middle of the day and, you know, distract myself from all of these things because I'm too busy scrolling Instagram or doing all the things that are taking me away. The choice of excellence, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to be top tier. Everybody's going to be singing your praises every day. If you're, right, getting up and you're truly doing your best towards excellence, yep, it's that 1% mentality for me. Right?
That's right.
Am I 1% better today than I was yesterday? Because if I am, then I won the day. And sometimes, yeah, and I know that you can understand and relate to this. Sometimes it is minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day to get a
That's
month.
It.
Right?
That's it.
I live, sometimes I will live inside of an hour, inside of a 30-minute time frame, inside of a 15-minute time frame.
That's right.
But you know what? At the end of the day, when I lay my head down on my pillow, I can, yeah, close my eyes knowing that my best was still 1% better than what it was yesterday.
That's right. That's right. And that's how you do it. One foot in front of the other. Or what's, you know, AA, a day at a time, right? And people, yeah, kind of look past that as nonsense, but it's not. Every day on this earth is a gift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can say some horrible shit to somebody or you can act poorly in the moment. All right. We all are. Like I said, we're human beings. We're fallible. But you get to decide the degree of that fallibility. Okay. It's not set in stone. All right. Like this, man, you hear it all the time. You got to choose the type of individual that you want to be. Do you want to be a person that speaks confidently? A person that stands up strong? We all look up to military and superheroes and strong, powerful people. The difference between that individual and you is a decision, a choice.
You gotta
yes, say, I'm going to embody the type of person that I want to be. And it starts with your actions. Look at yourself. I always tell people, don't sit here and be in your head about it. Look at your posture. Look at how you're standing. Mm-hmm. Is your head slumped over? Are you shrimped over because all you do is stare at your phone or you're just sitting there playing video games all day? Guess what? Reality is out here. Lift your chin up, hold yourself up high, and embrace the freaking world around you. The struggle, the stress, the adversity. We're so scared of people judging us and looking at us and this and that. Stop it. Turn down the noise. Stop it. Everybody's in their own fucking world, stressed out and dealing with other stuff.
That's
you don't have
right.
to take that on. You don't have to take it on. That's a choice too. Okay, which is why you also need to be so clear about who you allow into your life.
Yes.
If you can learn to, like I said, what did I say? Learn to cut it early. People in particular, people will always bring you to their level. Okay. That's a good thing because if you're associating with people that are kicking ass and winning and are focused, guess what? You're naturally going to gravitate towards that energy. Okay. Doesn't matter if you're there or not, because successful people aren't going to sit here and shit on somebody that isn't there, but someone that's trying to make it. Okay. That's never been my experience, at least.
No. All right. No, me neither.
Only people are going to shit on you are people that are doing worse. All right. And that they're just not your people, period. So if you're trying to make it, be a bodybuilder, be an executive, be, I don't care what it is. If you're trying to make it, then you need to start leaning in that direction. Where are those people? Who are the people that are there? Who are the people on the same path that I am? If you're hanging out with your friends, that's why I put heavy quotes on friends. You better figure that out, who your friends are. And you will find out. You'll find out when you're succeeding, and you'll find out when you need help, who your real friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you look at it and everybody is kind of just flailing, what do you think your outcome is going to be as an individual, right? So it's like, it's better for you to walk this world alone and execute. But if you want to be around people and socialize, then don't waste your time with the rest of the group. Go to the people that are moving forward. Seek people out. There's so many opportunities out there. So many organizations. If you're a veteran, a special operations veteran, and I'm going to make a light plug here, but I'm not trying to, but you got groups like the Honor Foundation, you've got the Navy SEAL Foundation, you got so many different groups where you can get around people that are trying to move forward and progress in life. And that is going to take you out of your current situation and start putting you on a path to success. Okay. And then that's going to get you more exposed. It's going to get you out there. If you're a veteran sitting in the home, you're not sure what to do next. You have to get out there and get moving. It's not just about exercise, but it's about your associations too. Okay. And that matters.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, my dear old dad used to say, Catherine, you are painted by the same brush as those you choose to spend your time with. What color is it going to be? Right. And, I've said that to my own daughter time and again, in terms of how do we select our friends? How do we vet them? How do we make sure that we're spending time with people who elevate us, as opposed to put shackles around our ankles and pull us down? Right. So,
you have to do what you need to do to make it in this world. Not what your friends are doing. Don't do things because of other people. Like I said, you're going to find out who your people are right away. If you start doing something that's different, that's when you're going to get the judge. Like, what did you say? Like, people are something about, people are always going to be screaming your praises, right? They certainly aren't, especially when you're succeeding and winning and doing something different than they are. The people that you are hanging out with, and now you want to go and be a top tier bodybuilder, but you ain't trying to go eat pizza tonight or drink beer with the people. What, you know, what's the first thing that comes up? Oh, you think you're better than us? Maybe you are. So don't sell yourself short there. What's wrong with that? Maybe you are better in this moment, and now it's time to elevate. And if you're going to try to bring people up with you, that's fine, but they got to be willing. If they're not, and you see that it's an anchor that's holding you back, you got to not be afraid to cut that chain. And if it's meant to be, if those relationships are meant to be, they will come back to you, I promise. But if you hold yourself back for other people, I don't care who it is, what a waste.
Game over.
What a tremendous waste. You know, we have so much that we're capable of, every single person. My path is different. You know, LeBron James has his fucking path. Not everybody's going to be an NBA champion. That's fine. That's okay. But you can be the champion in your respective field or whatever it is that you want to accomplish. But you got to be willing to face it and deal with the adversity and be willing to be okay with being uncomfortable. You hear that all the time, comfortable being uncomfortable. That's a fact. Remember, we have the start and the vision, and you have the outcome. That in between is the uncomfortability. You got to go through that if you want to get to the outcome. Mm-hmm. So be comfortable with that process, the climbing piece, the friction that you feel when you're trying to meditate and you're like, oh, this isn't working. No, that's exactly when you should stick with it. That's exactly when you should stick with it. Okay, because it's that pull where you're like, oh, I'm distracted. I'm thinking about this thing, but I'm trying to be calm and calm my mind. Keep going. Finish the 5-minute meditation. Finish the 30-minute whatever. Finish the yoga. So, you know what I'm saying? Don't just give in to the thing that you want to do. Oh, okay, I'm not drinking today, but oh, I just feel it. I want to drink right now. No. Give it 5 more minutes. You have it 5 minutes. Give yourself 5 more fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can make 5, then you can damn do 20. You can do 20, you can do an hour. push it off. Just come on, go with the resistance, lean into that. That is where the glory is. That's where the freedom is. That's where the cutting of the depression comes from. That's where the fucking promotion comes in, where you're no longer afraid to ask for what you want, state your value, because you've been proving it and proving it and proving it, and you've shown it. I can climb that fucking mountain. Here's my value. Here's what I'm worth. I've got undeniable proof. I'm ready for the promotion. Okay, but you ain't going to get it just saying, I deserve it.
Yeah, it's mine. Come on. I'm next in line. Come on, guys.
They don't see me. How could they not see me?
I'm a hustler, though.
Y'all, everybody's a hustler these days, right? It's dutiful to say that. Everybody's a savage. It's a lifestyle. You got to fucking walk the walk. And when you are a hustler and you are a savage, you got to tell nobody about it. It just shows.
They know. They know. They see us coming. Right.
They feel it. They feel it. And so lean towards that. That's your salvation. That's your freedom. Don't give in. It's not hard. You know, you always think everybody is broke until you get around a bunch of rich people. And you're like, holy shit, everybody's rich, right? You always get around, you know, think everybody's out of shape until you start hanging around bodybuilders and you see, you're like, damn, wow, okay, I got to step my game up. Start leaning into it. Start finding the people that are doing things that you want to do or doing the things that you see. And you're like, how do they get to that? Go to them, ask them, start cultivating a relationship. Figure it out. You owe it to yourself. Nobody's going to give it to you.
I'm going to tap our brakes right there because that is a perfect spot for us to stop for this one because I'm having you back. There's no way you're not coming back here. So
let's do it.
let's get people in touch with you. Let's get people in touch with you. If they want to find you, where can they find you?
Yes, please reach out to me, GuySmith_IFBBPro. That's on Instagram. That's the best way to get to me right now. You know, you can also send me an email, guysmith.ifbbpro@gmail.com. If you have any questions about training or coaching, I also offer lab work and analysis. I will help you with supplement advice, nutrition advice, exercise protocols, you name it. If you need advice on the military, how best to get into special operations, reach out to me directly. I will work with you.
Absolutely amazing. I am overwhelmingly grateful for you. I am overwhelmingly grateful for your service and to your family for their service while you were away doing the good work. And we'll forever be grateful for that because we wouldn't have what we have in our nations without people like you. So thank you not only for joining us today, but also for everything that you've given in order for us to have what we have.
I appreciate you, Caden. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I love speaking with you, and hey, I look forward to the next one, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And Pocket Change listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this episode together with Guy Smith, who is an IFBB pro bodybuilder and former Naval Special Warfare Operator, also known as a SWIC operator. As he said, if you want to get in touch with him for performance or any other need that you might have, GuySmith_IFBBPro on Instagram or GuySmith.IFBBPro@gmail.com. And remember, anything you want to hear us broadcast, anyone you'd like to see us feature, reach out. A call doesn't cost a thing.